Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Video games. Welcome to Filthy Casuals, a podcast about video games hosted by three very kind and extremely knowledgeable boys. Thank you for joining us. My name is Tommy Dasilo. I'm in a room by myself, but somewhere out there on the other side of the world, you have to wonder if anyone's listening, if my SOS beacon that I've sent up into the sky is being registered by anyone out there at all. Please give me some kind of sign.
Well, it's a shame we've lost Tommy on this recording.
Unfortunately, we can't hear him at all. He's certainly not coming through, and we will talk for the rest of the episode, assuming that he's not saying anything.
Yeah, that's my intention. Even if he does say something that massively contradicts something I say, we won't be able to respond.
Yeah.
I think that Tommy is an idiot.
Well...
Well, he's not responding.
Yeah.
You can't joke about this stuff because I actually took all of that as genuine. Like
I know. I knew that. I knew that as Adam was saying it.
So for the listeners, we are in separate locations at the moment. I literally am just sitting in a very small hotel room by myself.
I'm currently sitting in a very small hotel room with Adam Knox.
Yep, I'm right. Currently sitting in my house that Ben keeps referring to as a hotel room. And to be honest, I love it.
The room service is terrible here.
Tommy does drop out every like 50 to 60 words.
Yes.
We'll lose one or two, it seems like.
We'll just pretend that he said something funny.
My imagination isn't that great.
Knox, for the next time we do these, can you get some kind of, I don't know, carpet or some kind of padding for the walls? Because on my end, I am listening to one of the most echoey conversations I've ever heard in my life.
Yeah, well, the microphone is just a Mac in the middle of a table between me and Ben, but... I mean, my house is all floorboards and then walls.
Yep.
Pretty unique feature, the walls of my house. But it can be a little bit echoey, as I'm sure people will be able to detect on podcasts that are recorded in this venue.
A slight difference, yeah.
Yeah.
Your house is unique in one way. There's absolutely nothing on the walls.
You see, I was talking to my girlfriend about this the other day. Mm. Because she used the word serial killer chic.
Very smart girlfriend.
I just don't have any art that I like enough to have got it at any point.
I mean, like you were in one place for ages and this place is much nicer.
Yeah.
And it's the kind of place now that like, yeah, you want to start getting stuff. I definitely like turned over a bunch of shit. Like I had shitty old posters and they... did not move with me when I moved.
No.
So you'll accrue it. You'll get some nice stuff.
I just don't want to have a fucking Kill Bill poster or whatever on the wall. Like, I want it. What would you suggest, Tommy? Being the only person in this recording who can't see it, what would you imagine would be good here?
Well, just one quick observation, first of all. I feel like I'm in prison at the moment and you guys have just come to visit me and you're talking to me like through the little phone, through the glass.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Then you've just started having a personal conversation while I'm just on the other side of the window. This really just does feel like I'm just observing two other people having a catch up.
Well, we've had a lot more time to bond while you've been inside.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
If anything, your incarceration has brought us closer.
I'm trying to think. You want to steer clear of anything kind of like too pop culture-y or anything? You just want like some good art?
I'd like a nice general image.
Okay.
Like in a hotel room.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
What about like an old Windows Explorer thing when it couldn't load an image? Just that in the corner of a big white canvas. That's fucking shit.
What about this? What if, because I'm traveling around for the next little bit, what if I try and find you something to hang on your wall and whatever I bring back, you have to hang it up?
Okay.
You so anything that you bring home, which by bring it like with what has happened on the trip that you are on and the circumstances surrounding it, I don't trust. But I will make you a promise now that should it fit on my walls, which it won't.
Oh, interesting. He's going to shrink his house. By the way, I like that after I said that, Ben immediately jumped in and agreed to all the terms in spite of the fact that it's not his house. Not his place to sign off on this whatsoever.
It'll be good content.
I promise I'm not, I'm not going to come back with a fucking swastika flag or anything like that, but I'll try and find something that's like tastefully bad, like offensive.
Okay, so it's going to be
just
a,
something that's
it's a nude.
Just something a little askew, something that's not like not it won't visibly put people off when they come to your house, but you will get questions about it.
Okay,
perfect.
Sure, go for it.
Yes,
and listen, nice. I want to say again, I'm very excited to listen back to this and hear what Tommy's actually been saying. He drops in like there's just little tiny bits of dropping out because you're in Belgrade right now. Hey,
yeah, I'm in the Balkans. Is this the first time we've ever done something from the Balkans?
I think people have been balking at our content for a while.
That's true. If the numbers are anything to go by.
Now that I'm here, it's a bit more like the Falkins.
But yeah, it's somewhere I've never been for sure, Serbia. And it looks nice from your photos, but the internet at the hotel you're at is not good, apparently.
Yeah, I think the internet all across the board here is pretty shitty. So this will probably be the... This will be the worst connection you get me on for the next couple of weeks, fellas.
Right.
I reckon the worst one will be a personal connection. Anyway, the speaking of you feeling like you were in prison earlier, we have now uploaded all of our videos of our playthrough of A Way Out.
Yeah.
Yep.
They're on our YouTube channel, so everyone should go have a watch. You can watch the full game with us playing through it. Playing is a hell of a word to use for that game.
Yeah, suffering through it, perhaps.
Yeah.
It was really fun. I think they were all really good. We had a good time doing it. That last little segment went for a lot longer than we thought it would. I think we can all agree that the ending of the game is perhaps one of the worst things we've ever seen.
Yeah, it's not good. But yeah, that last episode is a special longer one. Our Avengers Endgame, if you will. All of the old characters are back. And I think it's pretty good. So go and have a watch of that. What's our YouTube channel's thing?
It is youtube.com/C/filthycasuals, I believe.
Cool.
Yeah.
If it is really our Avengers Endgame, can you put a little thing in the comments about when people can take a pee break during it?
Oh, God. No.
Hashtag thank you, filthy casuals.
Oh, the worst. Some of the worst stuff on the internet at the moment.
That's a good movie, though. Our Patreon thing this week was me and Ben reviewing it, and we both liked it.
Yes, we did indeed. Nox, you put in our general friends group chat a series of the most cringeworthy images I've ever seen.
Yeah. If you want to have a look around Instagram.
It was just photos of the walls of his apartment.
Yeah. It was just, I Googled white on Google Images and uploaded that as squares. with the travel stuff, Tommy, have you had any time to play games or see news or anything?
I have played a little bit of Box Boy, which came out on the Switch on Friday, I think. You play as a little cube who has no distinguishing visual characteristics whatsoever.
A lot like my room.
Yeah.
Great. Yeah. Yeah, Nox gave me a look before he said that. I was going to say a small square with no identifiable features. You're playing as me, Tommy.
Well, you unlock little costumes that you can dress him up in, and they're completely at random. And the first one that I unlocked upon booting up the game was the thinning hair costume that you can put on.
Yes.
So I felt extremely targeted by the game.
It's like Facebook advertising where they like overhear a conversation and just deliver it directly to you.
That would be very funny. If Nintendo of all companies, if the Switch had some just like horribly invasive, like, data mining software built into it.
Here you go, Tommy. Erectile dysfunction, the game. It's for you.
But yeah, it's pretty fun. Have either of you played it?
No, I haven't.
I've not either.
Right. Yeah, it's a little puzzle platformer where you have the ability to kind of make little cubes come out of your character, and you kind of use them to hit switches and make platforms for yourself so that you can get up onto higher ground. And there's often, like, you'll be able to put kind of four in a row, and you have to, like, very delicately sort of get them at the right angle. And it's hard to explain, but it's fun. It's very simple, but it's very fun.
I think we got the explanation.
Yeah. The way that that dropped out for us was literally every noun or verb that you said. We heard you kind of get a blank, 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 and then you blank, 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 blank out of your nothing, nothing, nothing.
It sounds like you're just singing Paper Planes by MIA. honestly, but, though, I think what you heard would be is a better explanation than the one I actually gave with all the words. I think you actually have a clearer idea now of what I was.
Well,
trying
yeah,
to say.
Well, yeah, because when we're putting this up, there shouldn't be a noticeable difference for anyone, by the way, who's listening.
No, that is what is going to be so weird for the listeners. Yeah. Is it's going to sound perfect, a normal conversation. We've synchronized the audio perfectly, and Knox and I just sound like complete fucking idiots.
I love it. Yeah, three men complaining about something that doesn't exist.
This isn't our men's rights activism podcast. That's on the Patreon feed.
Oh dear.
Very nice. But yeah, I recommend Box Boy. It's a bit of fun, bit of cute little fun on the Switch eShop. Yeah, that's kind of, I think that is all I've played in the last few days, actually.
Yeah, right. It seems like one of those games, I've not played Box Boy, but that, like, almost every one of those kind of indie 2D platformers, it's about being aware of spatial shit, and you have one ability, and then it gets built on, and you do more little spatial puzzles.
Yep. Yeah, pretty much.
I went back and played some more Baba Is You, which just gets fucking difficult at a point.
Right.
Yeah.
I've hit a place where it really wants you to think fucking laterally about it, and I'm a straight thinker. I'm a straight shooter. I shoot from the hip. I say what I mean. Mm. And I reckon Baba Is You is a commie piece of shit. It's gotten inscrutable to me. Other than that, I also played some Yoshi's Crafted World.
Oh, yeah.
Just to catch up on old things. Mm-hmm. Fuck, that game is nice.
It is, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's a lovely little game.
It's just pleasant as hell. Mm-hmm. I'm really enjoying...
I played a bit of it the other day. I got up to a bit near... I think I'm just about to get to the last world, but you need to have like a certain number of little flower things to... get in. So now I'm having to go back into the older levels and kind of get like pick up a bunch of shit that I missed the first time around.
I kind of like that stuff, and I find it difficult to move on from a level unless I've got all of it
right
already. Sure. So I'm kind of replaying them as I go just to have all those tick boxes done, because it's
especially
so easy
when you
to
miss
achieve
one
something.
And you especially when you miss one and you can see how you missed it as well.
Yeah.
And because they all kind of show up in order for you, you know roughly where you missed it too. So even if you didn't notice it at the time, you can go back to about the right place.
Yeah.
And have a look around for it. Same as the other sort of Mario games with the red coins and whatever.
Yeah. Just this one is incredibly easy, but also, yeah, very pleasant, very relaxing almost. Yeah. There are some difficult bits, like difficult relatively, but I've enjoyed playing it. I'm kind of going into it when I am sick of the thing that I'm properly playing, which honestly hasn't been a lot lately, but yeah, it's definitely a nice little it's a little holiday game.
It's just a nice little snack, little fruity piece of pineapple or something that you put in your mouth and you enjoy with a nice quiet chomp.
I played a bit of it on the plane, and it's perfect for the plane because it's very like low stress, as opposed to the other thing I tried to play a bit of on the plane, Cuphead, which I don't think I'm going to be able to touch again in handheld mode.
Oh.
Too small of a screen? What's going on?
No, just it's just, I don't know, like having a handheld thing and being that frustrated by it, like the game, like the intenseness of it. It's, yeah, I don't know. When you're in transit and you want to just be like playing something kind of, I don't know, easygoing and pleasant. I feel like Cuphead is something. It's like perfect for being like on the couch and just locked in. And yeah,
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
Yeah,
I would love to be on a plane and see someone snap a switch in half.
You'll throw your switch down the aisle. Like it's
where opposed to Yoshi's Crafted World, where you get moved to a better seat because they think you're a baby traveling alone.
Tommy technically shouldn't be sitting next to himself on a plane.
Yeah, I was playing it on the plane and then I unlocked the special level where I got to go meet the captain up the front of the plane.
Well, you've been playing like the big release of the week, Ben.
Yes.
But before that, do you want to do some news and shit, or do you want to talk about that first?
No, let's do some news. Is there some news to talk about?
Dude, there's always news when you come to me. Mm-hmm. J. Jonah Jameson.
Okay.
So this photo of Spider-Man is a very beautiful photo. What about J. Jonah Jameson, but he's like he works for an erotic magazine.
Okay.
And he wants sexy photos of Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Bring me photos of Spider-Man's tits.
I was going to go with Spider-Man's gooch.
Gooch is a funny one too, but not sexy.
Well, that depends who you ask.
Yeah, true. Taint. the big... What's some big news of the week? I haven't actually looked ahead.
He's currently scrolling through a certain Reddit subreddit.
Yep. That's how I get my news for this podcast.
Reddit.com/r/TheDonald.
So it turns out the Mueller report is actually a distraction. Trump actually asked for it to be done, and he's speaking in code to all of his people. Actually, that's some news. So Microsoft dropped Notch completely from being mentioned in Minecraft at all.
Yes.
And like didn't let him come to the celebration thing or whatever. So Notch is the creator of Minecraft. Mm. I can't remember his real name, but something Ericsson maybe? Mm. I can't remember. And
Stig Ericsson.
No.
I think that's a race car driver.
Stig Larsson is a writer.
Okay. Oh, the girl
with the dragon tattoo.
Girl, yeah.
I think he's dead.
R.I.P.
Basically, Notch sold Minecraft ages ago. He left the company. He made his money. He got out. He lives in some weird big house in L.A. Mm.
And it's all real blocky. Lots of...
Yes. It's a very blocky
house. Yeah, what's weird about it, Adam? It has shit on the walls.
So it's expensive is what my definition of weird is.
Right.
But so it seems like in the time since, or maybe forever in his life, he's just gotten a bit weird.
Mm.
And he basically, has been excluded from the anniversary celebration thing in Minecraft, had his name wiped from like the little opening screen. It would sometimes say Notch.
Yeah, right.
There and all that sort of stuff. Because Microsoft has said of his comments and opinions.
Yes.
Which have mainly been coming through Twitter and are mainly... to put it lightly, things that could be interpreted as racist, transphobic, homophobic, the whole sort of gamut of the phobias, other than arachnophobia, love spiders.
Okay.
Yeah. But just the sort of guy that as a company, even if whatever, companies don't have opinions on social issues really, but when it's at the point where it's, oh, it is more profitable for us to not be anywhere near this fucking shitstorm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
That might be selling them short as well. Like it's pretty crazy stuff. And he does believe in this whole weird conspiracy about Donald Trump being this like four-dimensional chess player.
Oh my God.
Who like is manipulating the media to get his message out there and all this crazy shit. All the Democrats are running a pedophile ring.
Oh, that conspiracy. Okay. Yeah. Fuck.
Well, and it's like 10 of them all on top of each other. And then on top of that being like, they think they're women. It's just stuff like that. Just shitty, awful guy stuff.
Right.
So, he's completely... Because I remember a point in time when he was on, like, talk shows and shit, being like, the parents have heard of this Minecraft thing, but what is it really? Here's a guy who made it. And he came out and he was, you know, just pretty normal on them. And, he's scrubbed from Minecraft now. And he has been for a while, sort of. He's had nothing to do with it for a long time.
But this is the big sort of conflation, epicenter of all of those issues coming to a head.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, whatever.
Fuck him.
Who gives a shit about that guy?
Yeah.
He made $2.5 billion.
Fucking hell.
From selling Minecraft. Wow. And it seems like that money has given him the free rein to sit in his house and go a little bit off the tracks.
Yeah, a little Howard Hughes style.
Yeah, off the powered rails, powered by redstone.
Wouldn't know what that means.
It's a Minecraft reference.
Oh, okay.
And it was
His name's Notch, Adam Notch.
Yes. Imagine
Did
if that's
story.
Did
either of you boys ever dabble in Minecraft?
No.
I played a bit of it back in like when it was first sort of hitting the scene.
Mm.
Back when it was first coming down to Studio 54.
Oh, sure.
Showing off every weekend. Mm. But
Here we go. Good on you, mate. You're better than everyone else because you're an early adopter.
Yeah, look, I don't have anything on my walls because my tastes change so quickly.
Oh.
And I'm usually so ahead of the curve that I'm sick of people asking me what band's posters I've got on the walls.
Sure, yeah.
Like, yeah, you won't have heard. Come back to my house in 2024 and we can talk about them, okay, after their first album comes out. I like them now while they're still in high school practicing the trombone.
I'm
that far ahead in music that I know the trombone's coming back and I know who's good at it already.
Okay. It's real big fish, isn't it?
They're on their way back.
Yeah, nice.
So that's kind of interesting.
Mm-hmm.
What else we got here?
The review of this podcast episode. That's kind of interesting.
Yeah, kind of funny. Games. That's the problem. I just went onto the top of the week for all of Reddit. Reddit is a good news source for video games at times.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not super into Reddit most of the time.
Oh, neither. No.
Yeah.
No.
But it can sometimes be useful here. What else we got? We got... see
what
how
are you
useful
boys
it is?
Doing over there?
So we're sitting, scrolling through an iPad.
Have you ever seen Swordfish? This is me trying to review the news, to read the news. But there's a certain challenge happening that you can't see, Tommy.
I can hear it, though. It's surprisingly audible.
So Mortal Kombat 11
yes.
is out.
Yep.
I have not yet played it, but I intend to.
Me too.
I really liked Injustice 2. People are pretty annoyed about the way that the sort of monetization and the grindiness of getting all the content in that game has been laid out.
Right, because Injustice 2 had a lot of costumes and customization and stuff like that that you would unlock with loot boxes. And through playing the game over and over and over again, I can see how they could put that behind a wall artificially.
And it's sort of weird though, because you can't just buy it all.
Right.
So it's not done in the way that like fucking Dead or Alive or whatever does, where it's like, give us $700 extra and you get the sexy Halloween costumes.
Right.
It's all in there already and you get it all by playing, but it just takes forever.
Right.
Seemingly needlessly. And so you can, the thing that you can buy. So every few hours, and again, I'll talk about this more once I've actually played it next week, but it's still interesting just how this sort of monetization stuff seems to be affecting games even when they're not really using it in the way that it has been on mobile phones and whatever. You know what I mean?
Sure. Yeah, well, the Shadow of War game had a similar thing by the sounds of it where you could play for 60 extra hours and unlock everything and get all the stuff you needed to be great.
Yeah.
But they certainly allowed you to pay for it to get it instantly.
So that's the difference, is that this takes X amount of hours to kind of get everything and you can pay to get the credits to buy it. But in the time that it's asking you to wait between being able to buy these things, so the shop will get restocked every 9 real-time hours or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
That's unchangeable.
Right.
Other than you can buy like a reset once or something.
Okay.
I'm still not completely clear on how it's working, but people seem pissed off about it and they're saying, we're going to readjust this. We're going to make it better.
Okay.
So more on that when I'm able to talk about it a little more directly.
Yes.
But it's worth mentioning that people are mad about something to do with a video game. It doesn't happen often.
Because people love everything else about it. All the reviews I've seen of it, excluding the microtransaction-y stuff, is a great. Like, people are really into, like, the bonkers story and the mechanics and everything. People are really, really enjoying it. It's got, I think it's got, like, an 85 average or whatever on Metacritic. And, like, even that losing the 15 points, like, I think that's solely down to that microtransaction-y stuff. So I guess if you don't care about the costumes and all that sort of stuff that you have to grind for, it sounds like it's a pretty great time. I did see that it's been getting, what do you call it, review bombed or whatever, because people are mad about the ending of the story mode or whatever. Being some SJW feminist bullshit. So it's got, if you go on Metacritic, it's got like the user reviews thing is like all, you know, positive and mixed are like, you know, 100, and then negative is like 800 or whatever. And it'll go down for like a day because they like cull them all, but then just fucking idiots getting on there and trying to stick it to the man by giving it a bad review on Metacritic.
Stick it to the woman would be more of a that happens sometimes these days.
Yeah.
The world's gone real weird, hey?
Yeah, it certainly has.
What do you think, Tommy, who we're speaking to in Belgrade?
I think it's a
crazy
all
place.
It's all gone a bit berk, if you ask me.
Yeah.
What's it like over there? Have the SJWs made it over to Belgrade?
I've been drinking the tap water, and then someone last night was like, maybe you shouldn't do that, and I've been too scared to Google can you drink the water in Belgrade, because I've already drunk heaps of it and it's like, well, I'm in too far. I don't at this point. God. I don't want to know.
Yeah, that'd be annoying if like the you found out that news when you didn't want to the water in Belgrade. Just looking for the next piece of news, Tommy. Just looking for
some more video games news.
Just break it to me. If I'm going to grow a second head, I may as well find out now.
Is it bad?
The first thing that comes up, the city of Belgrade recommends that when your water has been sitting for several hours, you can minimize the potential for lead exposure.
Ooh.
By flushing your tap for 30 seconds to 2 minutes before using water for drinking or cooking.
Mm.
Okay.
So it's just lead.
Yeah, it's just lead. No, lead never hurt no one.
Dude,
you have to get shot with it to be hurt by lead, I think.
Yeah, totally.
Oh, boy.
Tommy's going to come back and have an eraser on the top of his head be turned into a bloody pencil.
Woo! Yeah, no,
I'm
sticking to bottles from here on out.
Yeah, probably wise. by the sounds of things.
Serbia, the tap water is safe to drink in all major Serbian cities. If you'll be heading out into the countryside, it's best to stick to bottled or purified water.
Okay, that's better. Yeah.
That's from tripsavvy.com.
Mm-hmm. That's from Snopes.com.
thanks for making up that story to make me feel better, Adam.
That's all right. Sorry, I'm just looking at Serbia facts now.
Yeah, I was hoping that you would bring up some more video games news stories.
What else?
Oh my god, boys, I just looked in the mirror, all my hair's falling out. It must have been the fucking radiation from the tap water I've been drinking.
Yep. That's definitely.
Damn, that sucks that just happened recently to you over there.
Yeah, just now in the last 2 days.
Weirdly, the lead has somehow edited all of your past Instagram photos. That's insane.
I think we've drunk lead too, because my memory has you of never having had any hair. But I guess I must have had lead too.
I think we all had lead, yeah.
Yeah, I think you've caught radiation through this phone call.
So the Persona 5 shit happened since the last time we recorded, hey?
Yes, it did.
Damn, that's some big ass shit.
Yeah, it is.
Well, the Persona 5 news that was kind of like, so there was Persona 5 R and S that were basically known about for months now.
Yeah.
What most people thought was that R was the Royal, or they were calling it the Crimson.
Right.
Back when it was like a conceptual thing after the Golden. An expanded version of Persona 5, same content but with extra stuff, remixed kind of version of the game.
Like potentially new characters in there. Yep. That was all the speculation, yeah.
And that turned out to be true.
Yeah.
That was bang on. It's coming out on the PS4 in like November or December in Japan. October 31st, I think.
Right. And then 2020 quarter one.
Early 2020 for Western countries with the dub. Which is cool. That game is fucking awesome.
Fantastic game.
And that game, but like a remixed, improved version. Mamma Mia, let me see her.
Absolutely.
Persona 5S was the other one.
Yeah, well, so Persona 5R, it's the Royal, not the Royale?
The Royal.
Okay. I'm excited.
It's the Royale in France.
Very good. I'm super excited to play that. I was going to replay it, just the normal, the vanilla version. But yeah, I'm going to hold off and play that. I'm pumped for it. It was my favorite game of the year it came out. This could be the same thing again.
It's a fucking awesome game. And I will play through it again one day,
But boy, because that game is like 110, 120 hours
yeah.
the first time through with a whole bunch of another layer of stuff. How long is it going to be?
Yeah, longer.
Reckon?
I reckon slightly longer, if not much longer.
So that's cool. That's coming to the PS4. And then Persona 5S was the other thing that we kind of knew about.
Mm.
People speculated that stands for Persona 5 Switch.
And guess what?
Because Persona 5 came out on the PS3, so they already have a lower end version of it, mm-hmm. kind of ready to go. Once again, all the rumors were completely accurate. That's what it is. It's what everyone wants.
Yep.
Persona 5 is coming to the Switch in the form of one of those Warriors games.
Yes.
Is now it actually a Warriors game, or is it just in that style?
It is a Musou game, which is apparently what the genre is called.
Right.
Right.
I don't know right now. I think it's the same team who did Hyrule Warriors and shit. Let me look it up.
Oh, really?
While you boys have a little bit of a discussion there.
Yeah, so you guys have played some of the Warriors games. Tommy, you've played the Zelda one. Is that right?
Yeah, a little bit of the Zelda one, yeah.
And the Fire Emblem one, did either of you play that?
I played a tiny bit of it, but didn't know enough about Fire Emblem to keep going.
Right.
I'll be hooked in. And yeah, played Hyrule Warriors, and that was great.
Mm-hmm.
Is
it as great as Persona 5?
No, not at all.
Right.
Not at all. Not mm-hmm. even slightly, not even comparable.
Yeah, okay.
But as someone who has already played Persona 5 and has a Switch and a PS4, this right. is fine with me.
Sure, yes. That's the thing. A lot of people are up in arms about this new expanded one being a PS4 exclusive. And yes, Switch only getting this, which is absolutely not a Persona game.
Persona 5 Scramble, it's called. Right. And it's also coming out on the PS4, which is, I guess, where I'm going to play it, not even on the Switch.
Yeah.
So, who's it being developed by? I'm just having a look for that now. Persona 5 Scramble, The Phantom Strikers, in development by Koei Tecmo. So, yeah, it's by the people who do the Warriors games.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, it looks cool and everything, and definitely, like, that Warriors thing, it really does come down to how much you know about the source material. So... Mm. I enjoyed the Zelda one just because it was like cool to have those characters in a different context, and I can see the Persona 5 one being a bit of fun, but boy oh boy, put me in the camp of people that is like pretty disappointed that that's what the S stood for.
Because you kind of dropped off playing Persona 5 because of like the impending possibility of a Switch version, right?
More or less. Like, I dropped off just because it is, you know, yeah, it's such a big time commitment, and then other stuff came along, and I've just sort of never had the time to just commit to, like, really going back into it. Like, it needs to be a thing where you go, okay, I'm going to dedicate 2 hours a night to this. Like, I'm actually going to, you know, work on this pretty regularly, which it's a combination of not really having that time and then feeling like there was probably a chance that it would come out on the Switch where I could restart it and take it with me when I go away and stuff.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I guess this would almost seem to suggest that it's just then never going to happen. Like, it would be weird if they just all of a sudden now in 4 months were like, just kidding, it is coming out. Which I guess now is just I can, you know, just go, all right, well, I am now just going to dedicate that time to the PS4 one.
It could be a situation where if Scramble does well on the Switch, they then do a version of the Royal for the Switch or something.
Yeah.
But you're right. I reckon, like, they'd be fucking out of their minds to do that because this was the moment. Everyone kind of expected it. A lot of people quite justifiably, I think, annoyed about it.
Yeah.
Because...
Well, him being in Smash as well, like all the timing of it sort of seemed so perfect.
Yeah, that's true, yeah.
If it hadn't been announced at that thing, at that event, which, what, so it was like a concert of Persona music where they just like in the middle of it, they're like, by the way, here's some game announcements.
Yeah,
I think is what it was.
Kind of done this with Persona announcements before where there'll be some weird show to go along with the announcements.
Yeah.
So there was a concert of, some of the music, a bit of which I watched and was pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
It is cool. The Royal is cool.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. That's fantastic. Like, that is the thing that I wanted and I got it. So I'm completely happy.
I think it'll be a full new disc
rather than a DLC thing.
Right.
I'm willing to bet that'll be the format.
That's how the previous ones have gone?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I'd be surprised if it was just DLC, but there's no reason it couldn't be.
Mm.
And with Scramble, I don't know, I'm kind of interested in that because I love everything about the aesthetic and the music and all of that stuff with Persona 5.
Yeah.
So just chuck
that
stuff.
Like, I'm still keen on it. I think it'll be fun as hell.
Yeah. But yeah, not come to Switch. Sorry, everyone, with high hopes.
Mm.
But guess what? The world's harsh sometimes.
True.
Because of these big lizard governments who get in there and with their rings of sex trafficking.
Jesus.
It's so crazy. Anyway, whatever.
it's not the episode to go on a tangent.
What else we got? Those were sort of the biggest things I feel.
Yeah. Well, the biggest thing that I feel is a DualShock controller in my hands when I play.
That ain't no DualShock controller.
Oh, dear. And it's another swordfish challenge.
This is swordfish, but Hugh Jackman.
Oh, has Hugh Hackman. That's the burn that's in the Roger Ebert reviews of his early movies.
Hugh Jackman has to hack in to the mainframe whilst he's giving someone a blowjob.
Oh.
So he has to have the laptop like on their chest. I mean, looking up and trying to do it then.
Yes.
Swordfish 2. Get it going, Hollywood.
Mm-hmm. I've been playing Days Gone.
Nice.
Well, you know what? It is nice. And I think it's a good game and I like it. It is very much a Last of Us ripoff, down to some of the interfaces and stuff, like the way that things are drawn onto the world. Little very minimalistic like white icons and a lot of stuff like that that makes it immersive,
yeah.
But also makes me remember The Last of Us and a better game.
Yeah. But so different to The Last of Us, this is open world?
It's open world. You ride a motorbike. There's a lot of... I mean, I was about to say something that's similar to The Last of Us, but there's a lot of crafting. There's exploration. There are sort of like little camps, little hubs with all the stuff you'd expect, like a merchant and a mechanic and a few little quest givers and stuff like that.
So pretty straightforward Assassin's Creed Horizon Zero Dawn style open world.
Yeah. Closer maybe to something like Far Cry, where there are bad guys everywhere.
Right.
And these bad guys are zombies.
Okay.
So
they are pretty bad guys.
They're awful guys. They're some of the worst. They're running our governments. So like the shooting mechanics are really fun. The stealth is really good. There's a lot of stealth, obviously, just moving from your home base to a camp, which is very routine. There's zombies everywhere and, you know, you take a lot of damage from them. It's a dangerous world.
Yeah.
So the stealth is important and it's done very well. The movement's pretty fluid. The character designs are nice. Like the environment is beautiful. It's, I think, in Oregon. So, again, sort of like Far Cry 5, a lot of beautiful mountain vistas and trees, and that's where you're running around. All of that's very well done. What is extremely poorly done is the story and the writing and the dialogue.
Yeah, right.
And so I put this, a comedian, Reese Nicholson, he asked in a group that we're in, is anyone playing Days Gone? Is it worth buying? And I told him that. And he said, I've been skipping every cutscene in every game, you know, for the last whatever years. I don't mind about that.
Yeah.
And I think I agree, but we have a video games show, so you gotta, you know, you gotta consumer advise, and it's definitely a weak aspect of this game.
Right. So it weak in what way? That it's dull, that it's actively bad, that it's like, what's wrong with it?
Dull. It's dull and uncreative. Like the way it, like this is an open world zombie game where you can tell any story you want in a beautiful environment.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's a missed opportunity. Like the opening of the game is dull and poorly edited. Like there's nothing cinematic about this game. And there should be. It's a motorbike zombie open world game. So that is disappointing. I think it's a swing and a miss. But I'm having fun with it. Like there's nothing else that I'm playing at the moment that is comparable. It's just kind of fun. It's like a nice little run around, kill zombies, kill bad guys, build up some stuff. I've only played it for like 2 hours. So this is very preliminary stuff.
Yeah.
But I want to keep playing it.
Okay.
So I think that's important.
Because, yeah, I haven't had time to play it, but my brother has finished it.
He's finished it?
So, he's like, fuck it. Because I got it delivered but realized I wouldn't have any time to play it, so I gave it to him for the week.
Yeah.
And this is a correspondence review of it.
Yes.
So are we happy to have a correspondence review on the podcast?
Absolutely, yeah. Love it. We're like the Daily Show now.
Yeah. Here's All right. Here's John Oliver, my brother, with a review of Days Gone. Days Gone is like a completely separate thing that we're able to make a joke about because it isn't depressing.
Right, sure.
So he showed me some of it as well because I was down at my family's house over the weekend. Mm. A lot of bugs going on in there.
I didn't experience any bugs.
Right.
What platform is he playing it on?
PS4, the only one that it's on.
Well, that's me too. And So there's a 22 gig day one patch.
Yeah.
I started playing it before that finished
so
downloading. It was fine. Literally no bugs.
He has finished it.
Right.
Okay. So in more than 2 hours, he showed me some of them and they're pretty fucked.
Okay.
It was stuff like people falling through the world, but they're like key to a mission.
Okay.
So you have to restart it. A couple of crashes. Mm-hmm. Like you have to do a lot of missions where you're following someone on a motorbike and sometimes they will go at a crawling pace.
Oh.
Stuff like that. Like things that it seems like this game was a little rushed out. It's been in development for ages.
It's been in development for ages. It's not a game that people are clamoring for. Days Gone out. I need to play it. Like they could have waited another 6 months.
I wonder if you're working on this game and you knew that The Last of Us was maybe about 6 months away.
Yeah. Oh.
Would you go, fuck, we need to get through the door now.
We need to make our money back. Yeah. Yeah.
And he's saying a lot of the same stuff as you. He hates the fucking story and the dialogue and everything. And he showed me again some bits of that. I asked him to like record little bits, which was nice of him to do.
Yes.
It's dog shit.
It's awful.
The dialogue.
It's, the characters as well are uninteresting, bland, like... The you play as a guy who, so I think someone compared him to Marcus Ryder.
Who is that?
From Gears of War.
Oh, Phoenix.
Marcus Phoenix Ryder.
And then I think Ryder is his son, maybe.
Oh, okay.
That I think that's true. I can't remember what his son's name is. But Phoenix, yeah.
River Phoenix. Okay.
River Phoenix.
He's awful. Like, he's bland, dumb, backwards hat, denim vest wearing biker.
A lot of him going, like, when you're shooting a zombie, he's like, fucking get out of here, you son of a bitch.
Totally.
And, like, yeah. I hate that stuff. When a character you're playing out is on a different page to you completely.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I was fine with that zombie. It wasn't that big of a deal. It's not his fault. The Horde stuff looks really cool.
It does. There are moments of genuine tension and sort of overwhelming horror in those aspects. Weirdly, though, so I was playing it initially and was like very sneaky, very hiding and running around and taking on every zombie.
Yeah.
And then I thought this was a bug. It's a bug with my brain. I was doing a mission. I hit save because you can save in the menu.
Right.
Closed it down, went to bed, started up the next day, started the mission again. Yeah, like in every game.
Yeah,
if you don't finish a mission, you start it again.
Also, the PS4, you can just like suspend and jump back in.
Yeah. So, anyway.
What's bugging out in Brad's brain?
I was like,
hey,
I'm
boys,
fucking...
just quickly.
Yes.
Just quickly, you dropped out for a second just then, which is why on the recording, people will have heard me go, whoa, hang on. In the middle of you guys talking. So, just to clear up why that happened.
You weren't really surprised at something we said.
Yeah.
To be fair, we heard you say that, but just ignored you. No, that's not true.
So I'm replaying this mission and I'm rushing through it. I want to get back to where I was up to.
Yeah.
And that includes just running past every zombie and realizing I can just run past every zombie.
Yeah,
and a lot of the tension being drained away because of that.
Well, and so a lot of the missions, pretty much every mission apparently, you are finding the humans rather than the zombies.
Sure.
And they seemed less interesting, weirdly. Like, they were pretty standard third-person shooter-looking things. I still want to play this game because, the open world stuff of it, the setting, riding around on a motorbike all seems cool.
It is, it's fun.
Gathering resources, having to think about how much petrol you've got and whatever.
It's sort of taking The Last of Us and going, what if you had a home base and you were doing a bunch of missions?
Yeah.
And that... twist on it is fun. It's a fun sort of game. It's the game I kind of like to play.
It's a shame that the story seems to be as bad as it is. But also it is,
tertiary. I ended up skipping a bunch in Horizon Zero Dawn at some point because I felt similarly about that story in aspects.
Like that story isn't as poorly written word by word.
Right.
But it's also not the most grabbing story.
And the overall plot to that I did kind of enjoy, or like the sort of future past plot.
But it's also very B-movie, sci-fi action sort of stuff.
That's the vibe that this has, is like the fourth spin-off of The Walking Dead or something, where like it just bland-ass story, just first draft zombie shit.
Yeah. It's a shame because when the direct comparison is the best story in a game of The Last of Us, it's just an inevitable criticism that it's going to have, but... Also,
open world wise, you're up against Red Dead 2 as being the most recent in memory.
Sure. And even Far Cry 5 had issues. People criticized it, but I thought it was an enjoyable and engaging story.
It was trying to be fun, at least, where it seems like this one is actively trying to be dreary.
Yeah.
Which is boring.
That's very true.
I'm interested to play it still and want to actually give it a sincere go because, the gameplay stuff seems fun. I do kind of want to wait now, though. Now that the pressure is off because I didn't fulfill my responsibility of playing it for this podcast, I kind of want to wait for it to get a couple of more patches because those bugs that are in it did seem annoying.
Yeah, that's fair. And just because I didn't experience them doesn't mean they don't exist.
It's been a common thread going around as well of people saying this has been a bit fucked.
I think the best comparison as a general experience is the most recent Tomb Raider game.
Right.
It's very fun to play moment to moment. Great shooting, great stealth, really good animations, like beautiful scenery and a story that makes you regret having to hear it play out in front of you.
Sure, yeah. I didn't really like the gameplay of that most recent Tomb Raider game that much either, but this stuff I could see getting into. So we'll probably check back on this game in a few weeks.
Yeah.
And see where it's at because it seems relevant as well with if they're going to be patching it heaps.
Yeah.
Well, Tommy,
what's the driving around the motorbike stuff like? Is that fun?
It's fun. Like it's not like the greatest mechanics of a driving game that's ever existed, but just being able to like zoom around this world, like if you're like thinking like, oh, okay, like The Last of Us, but you could like jump in a car and drive around, smash through some zombies, and get to where you were going faster.
Yeah,
it is cool. Like it helps the experience of the game.
Is it just your bike, or are there other vehicles?
I think it's just the bike. Okay. Just the bike so far. And
bike's cool.
From what I can tell, you like upgrade it and change it. Like there is a mechanic at the camp, so. Yeah. It actually has a bit of Mad Max vibes of like, okay, maybe like it's worth it to go through this to upgrade the thing and make the experience more and more fun.
That does seem like a pretty comparable game to this, the Mad Max one, where it was like pretty textbook open world stuff, but done with enough like of a different sort of vibe
that
it might make it fun.
The only issue is the Mad Max was a fantastic game.
Yeah.
And enjoyable. And I don't know if this one is yet.
Right. Yeah, we'll check back in on this one after it's been patched a little. And like, the other thing, if you drive your bike off of a ramp, switch into neutral and it will just stop in midair and fall to the ground.
Okay.
Like Mario, just
sick.
All right. Incredible.
Which does happen in real motorbikes. So they've got that
yes.
settled up.
True, yeah.
Yeah, cool. So yeah, we'll check back in with that one. In the coming weeks.
Yes.
Well, Tommy, how are you doing over there?
I'm all right.
You feeling
it's
like
a nice day?
Yeah.
Actually, it's not a nice day. It's pretty rainy. But, you know, I'm all right. Hey, what I wanted to ask about was, Ben, I believe that you have had a go of the Breath of the Wild VR update.
Yes, I have.
Yep.
And would you like to hear me talk about it?
I already know what you think of it, but for the sake of the theatre of radio, Ben, what do you think of it?
Well, boys, we will find out after the break.
Hey, everybody. Have you got erectile dysfunction? Well, do I have the Switch game for you? Advertising today on Bullshit Radio, I can give you Dassalo the game. Try and get your dick hard. Here's the problem. It's an unwinnable game.
All right, boys, you've been on tenterhooks this whole ad break, and here it is, my review of Breath of the Wild Labo VR. It's bad. It's quite bad.
Yeah.
It's poorly implemented. The quality of the visuals is so bad when it's a real game. It hurt my head. It hurt my eyes. The only way I could comfortably play it was to lean back and have it handheld mode. Because you just have to hold it in front of your face.
Yeah.
And guess what? You move it around, it doesn't move the camera. It moves the game.
So I was expecting that aspect of it, that it would be like a sort of stereoscopic 3DS style 3D.
Yes.
It's shitty, but also for something that they're tacking on really this lightly,
yeah.
I guess that's expected. People have been setting up stands and stuff like that, Virtual Boy style, to play it. Do you reckon that would help, or is it just not worth it either way?
Oh, it's not worth it. No.
Does it run the same?
Yeah, it just looks like shit.
Right,
it
just looks blurry.
Blurry, pixelated, impossible to make anything out. Like, it doesn't look good. It doesn't look like the good game that it is. And yeah, it's uncomfortable to play. I was expecting something more, and I was disappointed. It really is like holding a 3DS up to your face.
Yeah, that doesn't sound good.
It's bad.
On the PC, there's a Wii U emulator that they've got running Breath of the Wild really well.
Yeah.
So it's got extra lighting additions to it.
Right.
It's all in 4K. There's a first person mode if you want to use it, stuff like that. And that looks fucking cool.
Right.
And I kind of want to. It's not pirating technically if I own two other copies of Breath of the Wild.
Yeah.
Because I got it on the Wii U and I've got it on the Switch. Mm. So they owe me one.
Absolutely.
I kind of want to play through that game again, looking beautiful, running perfectly.
Yeah.
And play it in like a first person mode that looks like it works.
Yeah.
There's a trailer of that on YouTube if anyone wants to watch it. It looks fucking cool.
Is there, you think, the potential that you could attach like an Oculus Rift to that?
Oh, they could do it, I reckon. Like the shit they've done to that Wii U game as well, which must be hard to dig through the code of and figure out how to make it better.
Yeah.
I could see that that might happen one day.
Because like it's just programming the camera control to be the headset.
I guess so at that point, and rendering it twice.
Yeah, yeah.
As someone who's developed a lot of VR games,
yes.
I'm fairly certain that's the process.
Erectile dysfunction VR.
Please. Yell harder.
So when you said that it moving your head around doesn't move the camera, it moves the game.
Yeah.
I don't... Like, what do you...
Like it's, I imagined it would be like a VR game where your head is the camera, you can look around like Astrobot, you know, like you're the camera within a static 3D world. It's not that. It's like you're just holding a static screen. When you move your head to the left, the entire screen and character and interface moves.
So it doesn't move is the maybe the way of saying it.
It doesn't move. Yes.
So when you move your head around, you're still looking at the same thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Right. Yeah,
so
right,
it is literally like holding the Switch up to your face really close and moving it around.
Right. That's a very, very missed opportunity.
Completely. And maybe it's missed because it's not possible, but it seems stupid to even release it.
Yeah.
Have you played the Mario stuff at all?
Not yet, no.
Right, because that actually seems...
About that.
Yeah, because it's actually a purpose-built little game. Like a little mini new mode within it. That's the one that always looked like it was going to be potentially, better implemented.
Yeah, I'm definitely keen to try that one as well.
Sick. Mm. Well, we got a lot to report back on.
Mm.
We got a lot to report on. So you'll be next time we record, Tommy, in London, is that right?
That is correct.
I reckon we should have some more solid internet in London.
Mm.
The city that thinks it's the greatest in the world.
Boy, oh boy, doesn't it?
So I guess we'll catch up with those adventures next week. Go watch our YouTube channel.
Yeah. Yeah. It exists and it's good.
Yeah. All and, 8 episodes of A Way Out.
Hit up the Patreon if you want to hear a bonus episode of this every week.
Yeah.
And get into our little Facebook group where we chat with people every day about all the stuff that's going on. Always a great time in there. Thanks to everyone who subscribes and contributes to the group. Filthycasuals.com.au for links to all of that kind of stuff and the social media and everything. Guys, thanks for listening. We'll see you next time. And as we say here at the end of every episode of Filthy Casuals...
Erectile dysfunction happens to everyone, and it's nothing to be ashamed of.
Cool.
Great.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.